Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord. Good to see you today. As you can see, I don't resemble Brother John Holt. So you get to sit through Bible class with Pastor this morning. And Brother Holt is not able to be here due to his work schedule today. But we're here and we're excited about what God is going to do in our Bible class this morning. Amen. I do believe that we are so close to the coming of the Lord that we need to be prepared and ready on every side, front, back, left, right, possible, because the Lord is coming. And one of the things that we need in this hour is wisdom. Wisdom for the day, wisdom for the times in which we live. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, but before we go into the Word of the Lord this morning, I wonder if we could just invite the presence of the Lord into our midst today. Lord Jesus, we thank you so very much for allowing us to play just a small part of the kingdom of God today. God, I'm asking you, Lord, to speak in my spirit, speak through me, to me today. Bless these wonderful, precious people, Lord, that are called by your name and that are here ready, Lord, to learn from your word. God, I'm asking you to bless this word. Anoint me. Do it in a quickly fashion today. In Jesus' name we pray. And let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to go to the book of Proverbs this morning. We're going to talk about wisdom. Wisdom is something that is so vital in the day that we live in. We are the media is pushing, just every side that we are at, that we are being pushed in a direction that they want to create what we are to do and what not to do. But there are people in this world today that says, God, I want you more than anything in my life. And I want the wisdom of God to prevail in my spirit. Proverbs chapter 9, verses number 1, it says, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her 7 pillars. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the high places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live, and go in the way of understanding. But listen, the beginning of wisdom here. Verse number 7. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, the years of thy life shall be increased. Watch this. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The word wisdom is approximately mentioned 250 times throughout the Holy Scripture. Both testaments contain a vast wealth of material on the topic of wisdom. And after the greatness of wisdom, in the preceding chapter, Solomon declared it like this: wisdom hath built her house and has built 7 pillars, in Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 1. And so we find further instructions to follow this, we'll discuss the bountiful promises of God, but it all hinges on wisdom. And I know sometimes we feel like maybe wisdom is not what we need. Wisdom is exactly what we need in this hour in which we live right now. Wisdom has to be built in our everyday lives. I was just speaking to Brother Jerry as we was greeting you as you was pulling up on the parking lot. Today, how people, they shun wisdom. How they do not want it a part of their life. But my goodness, if we could grow in God and find the depths of God and get into the moving of the Spirit, we would find that there's wisdom that comes to us in our prayer time, in our study time, in our researching time, and in through the Word of God. It is throughout that wisdom has been built, and it needs to be built in our personal, everyday lives. God in His Word, He is constantly appealing to us to seek out to acquire wisdom. Now, I know some of you may think, well, Brother Dainsworth, you're just a 40-year-old kid up there trying to tell us that we need wisdom. Well, let's take it another step further today and say, I just don't want to hear about wisdom, but I want it in my life. And so we can be assured that it is within our grasp for wisdom to be a part of us. Watch this. Anything that God asks us to do, anything that God asks us to do or to become, He gives us the power and the understanding to become just that. So if God's Word says He will empower us to become wise, if He will empower us through the Word of God to seek it out, then He has given us the means for that through this holy written Word of God. And so God has not given us a setup for failure. He has given us a setup so that when we get in this book, we will learn from it. We will glean from it. And then not only will we start to do that, but then the understanding comes. The revelation comes. The impartation of wisdom comes to us. The word wisdom comes from the Hebrew word, and I will not choose to try to pronounce that to you today, but it means to make self or show self wise. It means to wisdom in skill. It means to a higher level of spiritual living. A higher level of spiritual living. Make the best of knowledge, experience, understanding. It means to go to another level in God. Now, I know we stand or sit here today thinking, Lord, how much more to You is there than what I have? Wisdom gets you to that place. Wisdom will lead you in to that area of your walk with God. That there is so much more to God that it would literally blow our minds right now if He just took us up two levels instead of all the way to the top where Jesus is. We are living for divine wisdom. And in this wisdom, God says in Proverbs chapter 9 that there are seven pillars of that wisdom. There are seven things that we can pull from the Word of God. And what is a pillar? We know it as a column. Something that is strong standing. It is a platform. It means to stiffen. It means to support. In 1 Timothy 3 and Galatians chapter 6, we find that wisdom has built itself on a platform that is unmovable, unshakable. And if this is the case, then why we, the people of the name of Jesus, why are we not trying to get as much wisdom in our daily walk with God as we possibly can? Amen. Wisdom says, I cannot wait for winter to come. I've got to work while it is day. Wisdom says, I cannot wait for the individual sitting beside me to get it all together. I've got to get it together for myself today. Wisdom says, let the whole world pass by, but I'm going to stand for Jesus. Wisdom says, though he slay me, yet I'm going to trust him because I know in whom I have put my trust. Wisdom, it's not a thing of the past. We need to tap into it today like never before. See, God's wisdom, God's word categorizes wisdom into several divisions. There's several divisions here. I hope I've got just a few minutes to cover this, and I'll do my best to do so. But there's several divisions of wisdom. There's man's wisdom in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Then there's this fleshly wisdom in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And then there's this wisdom of the world. Oh, so help us God in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And then there is the wisdom of God. That's what I want. Then there's this earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom, James chapter 3. And then there's that wisdom that comes from above. Both James and Paul, the apostles, they partitioned wisdom into these various divisions so that we could take an interesting study in them and value them. The value of wisdom. It goes, we know this, the value of wisdom is far above rubies in Proverbs chapter 8. Wisdom produces happiness in those who find it in Proverbs chapter 3. Wisdom is the principal thing that we need, Proverbs chapter 4. And then we know this in Proverbs chapter 10, that fools die for the lack of wisdom. We know this throughout the Holy Scripture. It is better to get wisdom than it is to get gold. It's better to have wisdom than it is riches. And wisdom, buy the truth and sell it not. Wisdom, instruction, and understanding, those things are not for sale. But only wisdom can do that. I don't know if this has ever happened to you or not, but it happened to me one time. Sorry for the carnal analogy here. But I had a baseball card one time. It was Ozzie Smith's rookie card. If you don't know who Ozzie Smith is, he's one of the best living shortstops that played baseball. He started out with the San Diego Padres and got traded to God's club, St. Louis Cardinals. Hallelujah. Did y'all feel that one? Got traded to the St. Louis Cardinals, had a Hall of Fame career. He's in the Hall of Fame. But when I was about 14 years old, I had a rookie card of Ozzie Smith. And what I thought was my friends told me that it wasn't worth much. Just go ahead, Jeremy. We'll trade two or three cards. He'd probably give me a guy wearing a cup uniform or something. I don't know. And so we traded that card. Well, now, if I had the Ozzie Smith rookie card right now, it's probably worth, several thousand dollars right now. But because of my lack of wisdom in what I was dealing with, I let some guy talk me straight out of a gold nugget. Now, I know that's in the material side of things. That is just a little baseball card that's worth money that it's soon going to pass away, and it's not going to mean anything. But in our spiritual walk with God, how many times have we died spiritually for the lack of wisdom that we allowed the enemy to talk us out of the things that God had planned and prepared for us because we just didn't have the wisdom in the situation? That's the reason it's very important today that you have mentors in your life. Not just a mentor, but a mentor that is apostolic, that is full of the Holy Ghost, that is being led by the Spirit of God, that's being controlled by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Not just some yahoo out here and let's go ahead and sit at my table. I'm talking about somebody that's got wisdom and understanding in the Word of God, because fools die for the lack of wisdom. Wisdom, it is good with inheritance. Wisdom is good as a defense. And wisdom gives life to those who have it. It is better than strength. It is better than a weapon of war. It is profitable to direct us, because wisdom is something that guides us and will continue leading us every day. As I get older, someone said it when I was younger, and I still believe it today, is that you learn as you get older. Wisdom instructs us as we get older. Wisdom comes a lot of times from bad situations. Learning, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to go through that again. I don't want to do that process again. Wisdom is so important to us Christians that if we like it, we are to ask God for it. For it. I said through those doors right there, most every day of the week, several hours a day, I sit in a chair in my office that God has blessed me with. I sit there, and there are times throughout the day, not just once a week or once every few weeks, but every day I am in a position that I am trying to overcome something that I don't have a clue how to overcome. I couldn't tell you where to start. Situations, they're different every day. But every day there is something that comes that I have to bow my head and close my eyes. Sometimes I don't even close my eyes. I just bow my head and I say, God, I don't know how I got here. But I know if I am going to get out of here in this situation, it's going to be because you have given me wisdom to navigate through that. I can't do it in my own abilities. I'm going to tell you, my education level is not high enough to get me out of the situations that I get myself into sometimes. Wisdom is the beginning, and I've got to ask for it. I've got to ask God to help me through that. And when we get to a place that we desire the wisdom of God to operate in our lives, I may not be the most educated. I may not have everything going good in my direction. But if I will get the wisdom of God active in my life, I will not die by the way of the sword. I will not die because I am lacking in areas, because what I cannot do, God steps in and He does, and He provides, and He builds up, and He plants where somebody is trying to root up. I am speaking to somebody in the Holy Ghost this morning. We need to value wisdom and how valuable it is in our lives. Wisdom is so valued. It's valued above all the gold, crystals, and jewels, and fine gold, and pearls, and rubies. Wisdom is valuable and important to all of us. But it is, I want you to hear this, it is essential. It is essential. It is essential to a child of God. We've got to have wisdom. We've got to have it. If you've been living for God 30 minutes, then you should be learning from God. You should be investing your time in studying the Word, investing your life into the kingdom of God. Because 30 minutes is long enough for you to sit still and not do nothing. You've got to get up, and you've got to start moving, and you've got to start pushing. I know sometimes you elders, you probably think, Pastor, man, you're on us hard. But what would it profit us, elders, if we were to live for God and we got a plaque in our living room that says, I've been serving God 70 years, but I stopped growing after year number 10. Well, that went over real good. What would it profit us if we were to have the plaques and the accolades, and we were to be crowned in the church as the mother or the father of the church? And how beautiful were those precious people, only to get to heaven and miss out on it because we lacked wisdom, because we thought all we needed was a 10-year relationship with God. Wisdom is growing daily. Wisdom is growing daily. I say it again. Wisdom is growing daily. Wisdom is something that happens on a daily basis. It's been a while since I taught Sunday school class, so I'm going to be very transparent and open and honest with you today. I may like it so much, I'll come back next week. You just never know. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm 47 years old. I'll be 48 in September. I'm a grandpa. Play whatever I want, when I want, go where I want. That's what they told me. That's not true. But year number 46 was a hard year for Pastor. And see, a lot of times we just think everybody is just, you know, on top of the world. Year number 46, I went through some things, and I battled these things a lot. One of the things I battled with is I turned 46, and depression tried to get a hold of me. You hear Pastor right now? Depression tried to get a hold of my spirit. I had to fight it. It wasn't a weekly thing. It wasn't a yearly thing. It was a daily thing. Jeremy, you're going to die. Your mother was diagnosed with cancer at 46, son. You've got 5-6 years of it at the best. These things started just speaking to me. You know? And I went through a midlife crisis. My wife said, I bought a motorcycle. That was a midlife crisis. And she's enjoying my midlife crisis. And I'm just hanging on. Oh, God. She's loving it. Here I am, just, Lord, just get me through the next year, and I'll be all right. I'll sell this thing. But I was going through some things. And hell was attacking. I came to the pulpit. Hopefully you didn't even pick up on it. Hopefully you didn't even know it. The church still thrived in revival. Our outreach team did more than ever before because of good leadership and Bible studies. Man, the church was going. Pew! Man, it was rolling, moving forward. But here I am over here stuck. Because of the day that I'm living in. I hope I'm helping somebody here right now. And in the middle of all of this going on in my life, my phone's ringing more than it has ever. You know, I wake up some days and I'm thinking, man, I wish those people would leave me alone. They only knew how close they were to getting a Holy Ghost cousin. That'd be like, how can I help you? Call me back later, you know. Man. And one day I had enough. I had a pastor call me that sets up at 8 and started talking to me about their issues. Can you help me find a pastor for this church? Can you help me do? And I'm thinking, I'm down here right now turning gray-headed as we speak. How in the name of God can I'm trying to lead 400 plus people, keep a sane mind, keep my wife happy, keep gas in the motorcycle, you know, 3 kids and 2 grandkids and a dog and one another. I mean, Lord. Here I am. Dealing with all of this going on up here in this little place called the mind. Called the mind. And I asked myself, God, why? Why is this happening to me? Why is this? And it was like the Lord began to speak to me and said, Jeremy, even though you're going through some of the darkest days of your life, mentally, emotionally. There's wisdom in where you have been, and people see that. in the world is that even possible? When I'm fasting and I'm praying and I'm seeking God and I'm in this time of my life, I just turned 46 years old. I'm over halfway through the life. In 10 years, I'm going to be at the Blake at the nursing facility. Lord, and I'm going to be drinking, you know, smoothies for supper. You know, Lord Jesus, all this. Y'all think it's funny. So some of you's already been there. But why? It's because wisdom shines through when you allow wisdom to work and to operate. Not saying I'm wise by any means, but I noticed there was a shift in ministry. There was a shift in thinking. There was a shift and where God was taking me and leading me to, that I realized that wisdom, there is no amount of money can buy what I have been through and what I am facing. And because of the things that God has allowed me to go through and to experience, I stand here today and tell you, yes, I made it through, and I'm stronger for it. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I've never been through anything that my God cannot take you out of or pull you through or be with you in the middle of those times. But wisdom is essential if you're going to make it through to the next level of living for God.
Amen.
It's going, you know, and I'm thinking, Lord, if this would have happened 15 years ago, I don't know what I would have done. Chances are, I wouldn't have made it, but God saved it for me at this particular time. Wisdom says, take this home with you today. Wisdom says, it's all right to admit you're having a bad day. That's wisdom. Take that home with you today. Wisdom says it's all right to admit that you don't have it all together. Well, I'm helping you now, man. I'm just stepping in it right there. See, we don't like to admit that we don't have it all together. One of the best things I've ever come to the realization is I'm not in control of this thing. God's in control of this thing.
Amen.
One of the best things you'll ever admit is that you need to get out of control and let God in control so wisdom can have its day in your life. It's got to have a place. Wisdom is so valuable in your walk with God that if you do not get it alive and moving in your life today, then you're going to pay the price for it tomorrow. Wisdom saves up for rainy days. And in our walk with God, we've got to have a place of savings where wisdom shall be found. In Job chapter 28, verse number 12, we find in all this soul searching and heart rendering and crying, it comes back to an answer from several sources who allow it to be found in deep, really in their life. It is not found in this land of living, but it is found in the depth of our walk with God. And it's got to become a place. Job chapter 28, verse number 28. And unto the man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Notice what the scripture here is teaching to us. The fear of the Lord is where it begins. That's where it starts. The fear of the Lord. God, you are in control of my life. God, you have everything. God, I don't know what my tomorrow holds. I don't know what my next week brings. But I know this, oh God. I stand in the fear of the Lord. And wisdom says, when I can't do nothing about it, you are still God, and you've got all things together. You've got all things in control. When I don't understand it and cannot comprehend it, oh God, you are there. Right there in the middle. And it starts in the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. But it doesn't stop there. But you've got to depart from evil. You've got to understand. Understanding humans can only find wisdom as they begin to fear the Lord. The fear of God motivates us to search out His ways and learn of Him and obey Him. Then when we do this, wisdom follows. Oh, I hope I can portray a few things here this morning in the next just a few minutes. I hope I'm not boring you too bad this morning. But as we get older, my son made a statement to me just a few weeks ago, and what he was trying to tell me is that now that I'm where I am, I'm looking back and I see where this happened and where this took place. And you know, yeah, I probably could have and probably should have maybe made a few different decisions in that area of my life. Now that he's older, he can look back and understand, hey, you know, I should have done just a little bit different there. God forbid that we live for God and we come in and we're here every Sunday and we're faithful and we're committed and we do our very best. But because we did not escape evil, because we did not understand the evil of our day, it robbed us of wisdom and how to deal with everyday spiritual situations. Let me say it like I feel it right now. We are in a spiritual war. We are in a spiritual place, and it is wicked, it is perverted, and it is disturbing. And if the people of God does not rise up and live in wisdom, this spirit of hell is going to take us out. It's going to rob us of our present, of our future. It's going to rob our children. It's going to rob them of their future. But I stand right now between heaven and hell, and I declare today, we will let wisdom live and reign in our lives right now. I've got to let it live in my life right now. Our pursuit of wisdom must be through study driven, and it's got to be looking for answers. I just don't want to take the media's word. I just don't want to take a textbook's word for it. I don't want to stand or sit in a college room and take their word for it. But I want to find the wisdom of God right here in this book, because it stood the test of time. It's not going nowhere. It has never been defeated, and it never will be defeated. The wisdom that comes off of the pages of this book will change the time for centuries to come. And I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of those pillars that says, God, I've got to have wisdom. Let me get it from your word. Let me get it from this word. Let me get it from this word. Right here from this book. We see that we can search. We can search. Man, I'm the best. I'm the best at this. I got Google search engine on my computer. You type in Google, man, it'll give you just about anything you want. But can it give you the wisdom that this book here is going to bring? Oh my, I got to wrap this thing up. Give me just the seven spirits. I want to talk just a little bit about that. John chapter 4, verse number 24. We can quote that. We sure can. For God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and then in truth. There is but one spirit. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, who's above all, through all, in us all. We believe that. We know that because the Word teaches us that. But we find the seven lamps of fire burning before the throne in Revelation 4. We find seven horns in Revelation chapter 5. We find the seven eyes in Revelation 5, Zechariah 3 and 4. But it is noteworthy that to mention here today these three things. The seven spirits are before the throne. That's where they are. They are before the throne. And then there are seven spirits that are sent into the earth. And then we find that these spirits, the spirit of the Lord, Jehovah, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of fear, the spirit of might. We find that these seven spirits, they stem from the branch that we know of as Jesus Christ. We need these seven pillars, seven spirits working in our lives today. Would you hear, Pastor? I got 9 minutes to wrap this up. But we've got to get spiritual. Yes, we're in the middle of springtime. It's soon going to be summertime. It's going to be motorcycle riding time. It's going to be fishing time. It's going to be golfing time. Some of y'all done been hunting. It's hunting time. It's planting flowers in the garden, Sister Perry. It's getting outside time. And if we're not careful, we will busy ourselves right out of a spiritual encounter with God. Oh, I feel this burning in my spirit. Well, y'all get to stay around and preach here in just a few minutes. My goodness. We're robbing ourselves of our spiritual encounters with God. Now, where is the wisdom in that? Where is the wisdom in moving ourselves right away from a move of God and a walk with God? Ladies and gentlemen, if you ever need to be spiritual, it's right now. You need to live in the Spirit. You need to be in the Spirit of the Lord. You need the Spirit of wisdom. We need the Spirit of understanding. We need the Spirit of counsel and of knowledge and the Spirit of fear working in our lives right now. Oh, yes. Say, Pastor, man, what are you? I want you to hear the voice of the Lord today in this Bible class. I work every day, and we got. I see Sister Stewart here, and some of our school teachers that are here. Some of you work in the public school system. We work around children every day, and we hear things that'll make your hair fly back. I mean, it's just ungodly. Some of the things that we encounter on a daily basis. Some of you work in the workforce, and you work on a job, and I mean, it's just crazy what we are having to deal with, and the fear of the Lord, if it's the beginning of wisdom, why in the world would we want to put on our shoes, open the front door, and walk out and be attacked by a spiritual demonic force of hell without having the wisdom of God living live and well in our spirits? I'm into something right now. I want you to hear, Pastor, right now. We've got to get spiritual about this thing. We're facing. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities and darkness and the things of this life. I'm going to tell you, yesterday I walked down through the aisles of a local place here in town, and man, there were spirits everywhere, in that place. I could feel it all around me. And then somebody said, well, would you have recognized the spirit if they didn't look all janked up and out of their mind? Yes, I would have. Because when you get to living in the fear of God, there is wisdom that comes from that and says, I may be in this world, but I am not of this world. I may have to live down here in this perverted generation, but I'm living in the fear of God, because that's where wisdom is. And wisdom says I need to be spiritual. Wisdom says I need to have a spirit of understanding. Wisdom says I need the spirit of counsel in my life, that when I don't know where to go and what to do and how to go about it, there is somebody in my life that says, come on, Pastor, you can pull out of this. This is what the Word of God says. This is what the book says you can do. And you have power through this word. You have power through the anointing of this word. We're under spiritual attack. We're under a spiritual attack. And we need wisdom to be able to encounter the attacks of hell that come against us. And we're not going to be able to do it by reading Archie comic books. And if I were you, I don't know if I'd read another Archie comic book. They done took old Archie. I don't know. Anyway. Let's get back to this. We've got to be spiritual. I've never seen the likes of the church being under attack than I have in this past couple of months. You see, wisdom not from above, is earthly. It's devilish. I'll tell you, Lord. Bro, hold on, we've got to get back here. Y'all need some good stuff. But when I was a kid, Halloween was the worst day of the year. That's when everybody painted up, dressed up, went out and said trick or treat. You know, cast spells. I'm not taking away from that because that's just as real as it's ever been. And so, you know, bacon cheeseburger, I'll tell you my thoughts on that. I don't do it. I stay away from it. But compared to where we're at now, that don't look like nothing. Wisdom says, surround yourself with the knowledge of God and combat the devilish things of our day. This earthly. God, help us. I hope y'all love me. But we have allowed too much of this to enter into the apostolic church.
Right.
To where now we say, well, we're wise. We're more wise than we have ever been in our lives. I don't know if we are or not. I don't know how wise we really are when we can encounter a spiritual battle and not recognize that this is an all-out attack of hell to take the church completely out. It's a spiritual war that we are in. And when we get earthly, sensual, devilish, bitter, envy, and strife in the church, confusion will work on every evil side. And we need men and women of apostolic faith to rise up and say, not on our watch. We will live in wisdom. We will not be caught by surprise. We will march forward. We will move forward in Jesus Christ. We will move forward. We need wisdom that is from above. And when we get wisdom from above, it will bring about a purity into our spirit that we have never encountered in our lifetime. God's Spirit is holy, and it purifies our soul, which causes us to be pure. And so when we are pure, every motive we have will be pure. It also brings about peace. There is wisdom in peacemaking. Oh, Lord, I got a minute to wrap this up. There is wisdom in peacemaking. I don't have to agree with everything that happens. But wisdom comes from above, and it brings about peace. People, they understand confusion and strife and envy and backbiting, and it contaminates and harms the work of God. But there is something about when a wisdom-led child of God comes out of a red-hot prayer room and they've had an encounter with God and their flame face is glowing, that they have been on the mount of transfiguration with Jesus Christ, and they walk out and they begin to speak wisdom into existence. It will calm the nerves and anxieties and fear of these precious people that we're trying to pull out of the chains of hell, that we're trying to pull out of the depths of hell. I'm challenging this apostolic movement right now to rise up in this entire hour and say, God, give me wisdom for this day. Give me a pure heart. Give me a heart of peace that I can bring and work about the peace of God in this congregation. Oh, if you believe it, clap your hands and for the Lord. I've got 20 seconds. Gentleness, then the mercy and good fruits of God will follow those that live in wisdom. What would it profit me If I were to say I was the wisest man in this room today, but nobody in here could communicate with me because I was so hard-headed that I would never, never give in and say, hey, I understand what you're going through. May not agree with it, but we're going to work towards it. We're going to see resolve. We're going to see the hand of God work. What good would I be if I just shut people down and said, nope, not a happening. You're a failure. You're just done. It's not wisdom. Wisdom lives in peace and gentleness and the fruits of the Spirit. And what happens is when we start to live in the fruits of the Spirit, wisdom is birth, and we become long-suffering. And where we didn't used to have no patience, now we've got patience. Where we used to, our tempers would get out of control, now wisdom is allowing us to control our temper so we can help people, so we can minister to people. My God. Lord, I've taken you from one side of Kingsport, I've got you all the way on the other end of the state of Tennessee right now. But I hope I've said something today that has triggered something in your spirit that says, for above all else, I've got to be saved. And I have to live in a place of wisdom. Lord Jesus, I love you. I thank you for this day. Thank you, God, for allowing me the privilege to speak to your precious people. God, we're just a group of people that are flawed flesh, saved by the grace of God. God, we don't have it all together yet, but we're striving for perfection. And God, I'm asking you to give wisdom to every person in this room. God, bless our next service. Be with us and on our singing. God, anoint the ministering of the word. And we ask all of these things in your precious name. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen.